Blog Talk Radio.
Me say summer we blessed till we fool. Me a funny girl say blessings are running down. Me a dead dead. Me a drink out of glass and cast a cup for a road. I'm too blessed to be
stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But let me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have tuned in with me tonight. We have been studying from the top of the year. We have been studying Your Life Has Purpose. Your Life Has Purpose. And tonight, our topic is Don't Mess With Me, because I've got purpose. Don't mess with me, because I've got purpose. Bow your heads and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give You glory, honor, and praise. We lift Thee up, O Lord. We thank You for this, another opportunity to be able to study the Word of God together. Lord, I thank You for those who faithfully listen to this broadcast and who are blessed by this broadcast. I pray that You'll continue to bless their families, continue to bless, O God, all those that they are praying for. And Lord God, we thank You because You're so merciful to us. God, You allow us to be able to breathe breath in our nostrils another day, another hour, another moment. And Father, we're just truly thankful. I pray, oh God, for those in other countries that are struggling, oh God, to serve You because they're under persecution. Lord, we pray for them that You would truly touch them, oh God. Lord, remember those that are struggling in the faith, oh God, whether to turn back or not. I pray that they will not turn back, but Lord God, that they would be consistent in their faith, that they would be consistent in their walk with You. Lord God, that they would understand that they are not alone in this world, but God, wherever they are, that You are sending Your angels to stand guard around them. I thank You, Lord, that they are Christians all over the world praying. Lord, and I thank You for my brothers and sisters all over the world. I thank You for those that are listening, oh God, in the Caribbean, those that are listening in London, England, and those that are listening over in Africa. Lord, we pray for all of them that will hear this broadcast, Lord, that they will truly be blessed. We thank You, Lord God, once again for this opportunity to be able to break bread together, to be able to fellowship together through our radio broadcast. We bless You right now, God, and we honor You, Jesus. I thank You once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you so much for joining me, for tuning in as we study through the Word of God. You know, the Lord has just laid it on my heart for a while just to talk about purpose, God's plan for your life, and who knows, maybe in another week or so we'll go on to another subject. But for the time being, we want to talk about the fact that your life has purpose, that God does have a plan for your life, and that he, in fact, wants you to understand that your life is headed someplace. You are not just existing on this earth to do nothing, but your life is headed in a particular direction, and that direction is led by God. In other words, your life is ordained by God. God has already given you the wherewithal to understand that your life does have purpose. It is not meaningless. It has purpose. And so if you would turn your Bible with me tonight to Isaiah 55, one of the scriptures that I truly love, Isaiah 55, and we might actually backtrack a little bit even to Isaiah 54, because Isaiah actually declared some interesting things. And so let's look a little bit at Isaiah. Look at Isaiah. We're going to backtrack actually to Isaiah chapter 54, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more." Now, of course you understand, if you are a Bible scholar, you understand that most of these prophecies were meant for the children of Israel. Over and over again, God constantly had to speak to them because they were always going contrary to the will of God. They were always doing what they felt like doing. And so God had to correct them and chastise them over and over again. And so most of these prophecies that you read in the Bible were referring to the children of Israel and their waywardness and what have you. And of course, we also see some hints of the Messiah, referring to the fact that Jesus was to come and to die on the cross and what have you. And so the children of Israel were being warned about the fact that even a woman without children was better than the one that was actually bearing children and actually had a husband that they were married to, because of the sins of Israel and the way that they were behaving. But if you look at it in a natural sense, as far as, or shall I say spiritual sense, in God speaking directly to us, we can look at the fact that God is trying to tell us, don't worry about your past. Don't worry about the things that you have been through that have had you down, that have had you depressed, but understand this, that God has great things in front of you, and stop looking behind you, stop feeling ashamed of the things that you did when you were young, but understand that the moment you ask God to forgive you, he already has, and that he has great things in front of you. So the Bible says in verse 4, "Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed." Fear not. In other words, stop feeling guilty about things that you have done that you know, it's already passed. But understand that God has your future mapped out in such a way that you are just going to be so proud. You are just going to be so happy. When you look at the outcome, when you see what God has truly done, you're going to say, "Wow, I'm actually glad that I took that road to get to where I am now." You know, sometimes when we're young, we cannot understand why we took the road that we took to get to where we are now. And we, you know, we cry about it and we, you know, we shed lots of tears about, you know, the choices that we made and the things that we could have done differently. But everything that you have gone through brought you to this place where you are right now. And so I know personally I would not want to trade a moment of my life, because I know that although, you know, I might say right now that, hey, I wish I had, there's a few things that I wish I had done differently, I understand that every hour, every day, every experience that I had built my character, built who I am now, you know, to where I can testify to other people and I can tell them in all honesty that God brought me through. I can tell them in all honesty that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where could I be? And if God does not allow us to go through certain difficulties in life, it appears to me that we would not pray as much as we pray right now. We would not sing as much as we sing right now. We would not read the Bible as much as we read it right now. And so I believe that sometimes God intentionally allows us to go through some hardship and some challenges so that we can understand that He is still Lord, that He is still Lord of our lives, that He is capable of doing great things. He is capable of bringing us through hurdles and over steep mountains, and He is able to bring us through valleys. There are things that God is able to do in our lives when we recognize that hardship comes for a reason. And I began to say that our topic was, and I in fact did say it, our topic was, don't mess with me because my life has purpose. You see, when your life has purpose, it does not matter who bothers you. You still are so focused that you momentarily might look to the right or look to the left to see what's going on around you, but it will not bother you or allow you to get sidetracked at all, because you know that your feet are already standing on solid ground. Look at 54 some more. It says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. So many times people do things when they're young and it just hangs over their head forever. You've got to understand, dear friend, that the moment you ask God to forgive you, He does. You will hear me say over and over, say that over and over and over again. Why? Because I want it to sink in. I want you to understand that God loves you very much. I want you to understand that when you fall down, you must get back up again. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Don't allow the enemy to say things to you that will get you depressed and to get you to stop socializing with other Christian people and, you know, have yourself locked in the house by yourself. Don't do that, dear friend. Unless God tells you to, you know, do a long fast and so that you could hear His voice, don't allow yourself to go into depression. But pull yourself out of that. Allow God to pull you out of that and understand that your life does have purpose, but in fulfilling the purpose, the plan that God has for your life, you're going to have to socialize with other people. You're going to have to be around other people. You're going to have to speak with them and laugh and talk with them and perhaps do projects with them. You're going to have to understand that what God has for you is for you, and no one can get what God has for you. And so you don't have to think that someone is going to make it to that finish line before you. They're not, because what God has for you is for you. Dear friend, sometimes it appears because of what's going on around us that someone can rob us of our joy. But I want you to know that no one can take your joy. No one can take anything from you that you do not give to them. When God has given you joy, dear friend, hold on to that joy. If God has given you peace, dear friend, hold on to that peace and understand that your life has purpose. Let's look at verse 5. I'm in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5. It says, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God." So, you know, God is comparing the children of Israel to a wife that has been forsaken and a wife that was grieved. Now, anyone knows that a woman scorned is not a very good person to be around, because, you know, the attitude, you know, just the emotions, all of that, it's terrible, because this woman just complains and moans and groans about what this man did to her, you know, and the Bible refers to the children of Israel sort of like a woman that was scorned and forsaken. But the Bible says, don't worry about it. It might seem as if you're going through some challenges right now, but I want you to know that it was just for a moment, just for a moment, but that God is working things out for you. It says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." So, if you have been going through a difficult time, realize that it was just for a moment. God turned his face just for a moment. But even just for a moment, when he turned his face, don't worry about it, because he is turning his face back to you. So if it seems as if you've been going through a rough time in your life, and you seem to have lost focus, and you're thinking, well, what purpose did this serve? Why am I going through this? I want you to know that God has a plan for you. Don't give up yet. Don't give up too soon. God has a plan for your life. If you've always wanted to open a business, you've always wanted to start your own school or perhaps your own university, it doesn't matter. And I didn't say go to a university. I said start a university. All these schools, all these colleges, all these businesses you see around you, someone had the idea and someone started it. And so if God has given you a dream, a vision, something it is that you want to do, don't stop dreaming. Don't hesitate. Find out how you can get it done and do it. By all means, do it. I want you to know that the Bible says just for a moment, just for a moment, it might appear as if God has forsaken you, but God has not forsaken you. Dear friend, this is your year. This is your moment. This is your season to be blessed. Don't give up now. Continue pressing your way forward. Continue pushing your way through. Why? Because although it does not seem like victory is on the horizon, I want you to know that your victory is on the horizon. God has great things that he is doing in your life. God has great things that he's doing in your family. Don't give up now. Victory is on the horizon. You know, I really, really like that. That's the first time I've heard the Holy Spirit say that. I've said so many other things, but that is the first time I think that I've said that. And perhaps if you've heard me say it before, you can correct me. But I like that. Victory is on the horizon. You know, when I think of the horizon, I think of, you know, waking up early in the morning and seeing the sun rising, and or perhaps traveling out on a boat and just seeing yourself going out and out and out, and you could see, you know, sort of like the edge where the sky meets the water. You know, when you look far, far, far in the distance, you can sort of see that. You know, I think in terms of God just bringing a miracle. You know, I tell people, you should always live in expectation for a miracle. You should always live, I'll say it one more time, you should always live in expectation for a miracle. So, in other words, there's never a time in your life when you should expect nothing to happen. Every single day when you wake up, you should be saying, God, I know that you've got something wonderful in store for me today. This is another blessed day. Lord, I thank you. I'm happy to see another day. I'm happy. Oh, God, hallelujah. Oh, I praise your name right now, Jesus. Lord, I'm just so happy to be awake another day. Lord, I know that something good is about to happen in my life. Something good is about to happen in my family. And I'm just so excited, Lord, about what you're about to do in my life. Lord, I thank you right now. I bless your name right now. Oh, you are truly wonderful. You know, I'm just excited just to even be talking about it. You know, I just think of God just looking down and saying, you know what, young lady or ma'am, sir, I've got something good that I'm about to give to you. But you know what? It just doesn't look like you're expecting it. It doesn't look like you want it. And so I'll just pass on that blessing to someone else. You know, dear friend, I never want to be in a situation, in a place mentally, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, when I am not expecting a blessing. I always want to be in a state of readiness for God to bless me. If you are not in a state of readiness, if you don't understand the purpose and plan for your life and understand that God always has something good on its way to you, then you're living a life without hope. But, dear friend, God does not want you to live a life without hope. He wants you to know that for a moment you might have been forsaken, but with great mercies, he says, I will gather thee. He said, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee. Dear friend, God is showing you everlasting kindness. Everlasting kindness. Do you know what that means? That means that each and every single day, God has his arms stretched out towards you. I don't know if you fully understand what I mean by that. To fully understand what I mean by that, you might need to go over to the book of Esther and read the book of Esther when Queen Vashti refused to come to her husband. And her husband was forced to put her away and pick a new queen. And Queen Esther, when she became queen, when Haman decided that he was going to destroy the Jews, the Bible tells us that Queen Esther and her people fasted for 3 days, for three whole days. She said, please fast with me. And the Bible says that after the fasting, Esther said that she was going to see the king, and she said, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to go. She had to go on behalf of her people. So to understand God's outstretched arm towards us, which is everlasting, understand that when Queen Esther went before the king, if he did not stretch out his, you know, his rod towards her, his scepter towards her, she could have been killed because it was illegal for her to come before the king without being called. And so if you understand the mercy that was shown towards Queen Esther when the king stretched his scepter towards her, then you will understand what it means that God has his hand outstretched towards us. It says, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, said the Lord thy Redeemer. When he says that he has mercy on us, it's like him stretching out his scepter towards us and letting us know that we can come before his throne anytime we want, anything we need. We can go before the throne of God and understand and know and believe without a doubt in our heart that God hears, that he answers prayers, and that he is going to meet every need that we have. Now, if that does not get you excited, I don't know what will. It excites me to know that God always hears my prayer. It excites me to know that he always has an outstretched hand towards me to let me know that I can come before his throne all the time, that I always have his ear, that he has everlasting mercy to give to me. That means that I'm not going to intentionally go out and sin against God, but I do know that if I do something wrong, that I know that he is going to forgive me, he is going to help me. And dear friend, I hope you understand that God loves you very, very much, and that at all times he has you on his mind, and that he does have his everlasting kindness to give towards you. Look at verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke you. So, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that had mercy on thee. Wow, isn't that a mouthful to know that God says that he will never remove his kindness from us? Do you know what that means, dear friend? It means that he will continue to love us forever and ever and ever. And that seed that you plant in your family, God will honor that seed, and for generations to come in your family, he will show kindness to your children, to their children, and to their children's children. And I hope you understand that the seed that you plant in your family is a seed that will go on blessing that family for generations to come. It says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fear colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Wow. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. So that's pretty much what I just said, that, you know, God says that he is going to give us wonderful things, and that not only would the peace be with us, but also with our children. With our children. Look at verse 14. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. So, dear friend, if you have ever been fearful in the middle of the night or at any time, understand this, that God can help you to not live in fear. You don't have to live in fear of anyone, any person, anything. You don't have to live in fear, because God himself will protect you. So when people get on your nerves, just say, please don't mess with me, because my life has purpose. When they try to get you sidetracked, just look at them and say, don't mess with me, my life has purpose. When they try to get you out of character, perhaps they start yelling and screaming, and they want you to match their behavior, just look at them. Put your hand on your hips and say, listen, don't mess with me. My life has purpose. And of course, if you're a guy, you might not want to put your hand on your hips, but you might want to just lift your hands up to the Lord and say, look, don't mess with me. My life has purpose. People like to try to stop other people from doing the right thing. They try to get them sidetracked and get them in all kinds of foolishness. I know women tend to sit around and they gossip, 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 gossip. And I ask the Lord to help me with that, because I don't want to be a gossip. And I hope that you're praying and asking God to help you with that, that you will not be a gossip, talking other people's business. But keep in mind that God wants us to be children of peace. And you need to understand what your purpose is in this world before you can be a child of peace. You need to understand that God has great plans for your life, and first and foremost, it starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then reading the Bible, studying it, and attending church regularly. These are the things that you need to understand, because in order for your life to be lined up with the Word of God, you must begin someplace. Where do you begin? First, by asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Let's look at verse 16. It says, actually verse 15, "Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." Now, isn't that amazing? Anyone who gathers against you shall fall. Now, you can only get that by serving God. When you remember that your life has purpose, those who come against you shall fall. So you don't even have to worry about people bothering you. Just line yourself up with the Word of God. Just continue serving God. And those who strive to do, you know, all kind of evil things to you, they will not be successful. Dear friend, they will not be successful. Look at verse 17, or I shall read 16 and 17. It says, "Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy." Look at verse 17. "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. You know, I wish I could just shout it from the housetop, you know, because so many times we allow minute little things to discourage us. And God wants you to know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. It does not matter what it is. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. It does not matter who is bringing it. Doesn't matter if it's a job, if it's family, if it's a spouse. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because what you have to remember is, even if your husband is getting on your nerve or your wife is getting on your nerve, it's not that person. Your enemy is not that person. Your enemy is Satan himself. He is the one that comes against you to want to harm you. Even if you're having struggles on your job, it's not the people at your job that you should be angry at. You should be angry at Satan. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If you're having trouble with you know, other people around you or family, pray for them, because it's not them. It is Satan himself that comes to sow discord. You've got to understand who your enemy is. Your enemy is not your family. Your enemy is not your friends on your job. Your enemy is Satan himself. And so he wants to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he cannot. We are waiting for that day when he will be bound, thrown into hell, and hell thrown into the lake of fire. So remember, dear friend, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You need to just walk around and say, "Girl, don't mess with me. My life has purpose. Just don't mess with me. This is not the time to mess with me, because my life has purpose. No weapon that is formed against me can prosper." And it says, "Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." So, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Wow. Everyone that will speak anything against you, don't worry about it, because God is already handling it. Don't worry about those who are not on your side. God is on your side. And if God is on your side, forget about those people who are not on your side, because God is going to handle it. God is going to handle them. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Dear friend, God saw this economic crunch before it happened. He saw World War I, World War II, you know, he saw the Great Depression. He saw what's going on now in our economy. He saw this before it came to being. Before all of this came into being, he saw the housing market collapse. He saw all of that before it happened, dear friend, and he still said, ho, everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. So, God saw all of this before it happened. He knew that people were going to be suffering different challenges with their houses and cars and what have you. But yet he said, trust him. Trust him. When you have no money, trust him. When you've got lots of money, trust him. The bottom line is we must learn to trust God. It does not matter what situation we find ourselves in. We must learn to trust God. It says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Your labor for that which satisfied not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So, stop wasting your time and your precious energy on things that are not important. That's the bottom line. Why spend your energy on things that are not important? Your life has purpose. God wants you to fulfill your destiny. He wants to speak to you and whisper to you, let you know what you were called to do. And so why waste good energy doing nothing, sitting around doing nothing, when you can get up and do something? Let God direct your step. Let him speak to you. Verse 3 says, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so, even from the beginning of time, God spoke to man. He created man and woman, and he spoke to them. And so, once again, he is calling us. He said, come, incline your ear. Come, listen to what I have to say. The challenge with us today, and I've said it in the last few teachings as well, the challenge with us is that we don't have time to incline our ear unto God. We don't have time to listen. And if we would just take time to listen, we would hear him talking to us. We would hear him leading us. We would hear him directing us. God wants you, dear friend, to incline your ear. He wants you to come unto him. He wants you to actually hear him speak to you. Hear him giving you directions. Hear him telling you the things that you need to change in your attitude, the things you might need to change in your life, the things that you need to line up with his word. He is speaking to you right now. The Holy Spirit is drawing you right now. God wants to be first and foremost in your life, dear friend. Your life has purpose. Your life does have purpose. And when people around you don't understand, just say, look, don't mess with me because my life has purpose. Don't mess with me. My life has purpose. You see, sometimes people bother you because they don't think that you know what you're doing. They don't think that you know what direction your life is going in. And you have to say, look, God is speaking to me. He's directing me. I'm reading the word of God. I'm praying, and I'm doing research, and I'm trying to find out what it is that God wants me to do. You know, I'm not saying not to take advice from people, but I'm saying when it seems as if they're giving you negative advice, when it seems as if they're trying to pull you away from God instead of trying to propel you towards God, you have to be able to recognize when someone that you have in your life is not good for you. You have to be able to recognize when you need to spend more time praying and when you need to spend more time seeking the face of God, because God truly wants to propel you forward. He wants to push you. He wants you to really do great things for him, and you cannot do that sitting around with negative people. Negative people do not have any ambition, and they don't want you to do anything with your life either. And so if you're around people who don't want to do anything with their lives, get away from them as quickly as you can, because your life has purpose, and you've got to be able to tell those negative people, don't mess with me. My life has purpose. God has already told me that his kindness towards me is everlasting. God has already told me that he is turning his face back towards me. He has already told me that no weapons that are formed against me shall prosper. He has already told me about his promises and the fact that I don't need lots of money to survive. I can live and survive with a little bit of money, but if God wants to bless me with lots of money, Lord, I'll take it. I will take it, because as I've stated before, the more money you have, the more things you can do for the kingdom. And so, dear friend, I want to encourage you to allow God to lead you. Incline your ear unto him. Do what he's calling you to do. Look at verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Look at verse 7. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Dear friend, if you have friends who are doing the wrong thing, tell them to turn back to God. If you have been doing some things that are not really the right things to do, turn back to God. Ask God to help you to serve him. Ask God to help you to be faithful to him. Verse 8 stated, as I just read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." So we know that our thoughts could never match up to God's thoughts. How do I know that? Because there are some people that have really gotten on your last nerve, and your thoughts were, "I wish I could strangle them." Now, those are not God's thoughts, because God did not tell you to think about strangling anyone. God did not tell you to think about harming anyone. And so that's how I know that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, because God's thoughts towards us are good, not evil. Look at verse 9 again. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Look at verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Wow, that's a mouthful. I love that. God promised to us that whatever he said, it's not going to return unto him. You know, if you ever play with a boomerang, one of those triangular things, it's like a half triangle. You send it out, and it's supposed to come back to you. Well, I want you to know that God's word doesn't bounce back. It's not bouncing against a wall someplace and just dropping on the ground. But God's word is pure. It's serious. When God says he's going to do something, dear friend, he is going to do it. He's already just told you that no weapons can form against you. He's already just told you that he loves you very much. He's already told you that he wants to prosper you. Look at verse 11, at the last part, it says, "And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So if God says that you're blessed, oh boy, you can bank on it. You know it. If God says that you're going to be great in the kingdom, oh, all you have to do is wait on it. It says, for ye shall go out with joy, verse 12, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Dear friend, God says that you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Now, why be sad when God has already given you joy? Why be restless when God has already given you peace? He sent his son Jesus so that you can have peace and joy. The Bible says in verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And so things that would prick you, that would hurt you or harm you, God says, instead of that, I'm giving you something that is going to be easy for you to handle, something that is going to be more substantial for you. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I love when God replaces my hardship with something substantial, something great, something joyous and peaceful. I love it when God just looks at me and says, okay, you've gone through that long enough, and he just released me of that pressure, released me of that burden, and he just gives me sweet rest. Dear friend, I want you to know that God is going to give you sweet rest. He is going to give you sweet rest. And so trust him today. Trust him with your family. Trust him with your marriage. Trust him with your children. Trust him with those relationships. Trust him with those friendships. God, understand, he sees what you're going through. And I want you to know that don't allow people to just mess with you, to just say things to you that just immediately get you angry or immediately get you upset. But learn how to rest in Jesus so that even when you hear negative things, you can still be at peace. Dear friend, put your trust in the Lord, because your life does have purpose. Your life does have purpose. God has a plan for you. God is already working things out for you. Everything that you have need of, God has already provided it. It's already on its way, dear friend. You don't have to, you know, hold your head at night. You don't have to be crying into your pillow all night long. Everything that you have need of, God has already worked it out for you. I don't know who you are that's listening to me at this particular moment, a woman, a middle-aged woman listening to me right now, or you might be a middle-aged man listening to me right now. You might be a young man, or you might be a senior. I don't know who's listening that is going to be impacted, but I want you to know that when you hear this message, you're going to know that it's exactly for you. You're going to know that this is your word and that this is the message that you've been waiting for a very long time, to understand that God's got you. It's going to be all right. It's okay. You don't have to stress any longer, because God has already worked everything out for you. You can be reassured. You can rest in his peace and understand that he loves you very, very, very much, that you are not alone in this world. He already has plans laid out for you. If you would just put your trust in him, if you would just serve him, if you would be faithful to him, the moment you ask him to forgive you of your sins, he did. The Bible says if you are faithful, if you confess your sins, 1 John 1, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And our theme scripture is Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And your closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't, and what you believe, you can achieve. different, whatever it is that God has placed it in your heart, I want you to know that if he placed it there, that means he wants you to do something with it. I tell people, long before I preached before thousands, I dreamed, I saw it in a vision. I saw myself preaching to thousands. And I want you to know that God has already fulfilled that dream. I've preached to literally thousands over the last 20 or so years. I've preached to many, many people. Dear friend, whatever God is calling you to do, don't hesitate. Do it. Understand that if God is calling you to do it, he will equip you. He will help you. I tell people all the time, I went to Bible college first because I knew that I had been called to preach the gospel, and I wanted to prepare myself to go and do what God had called me to do. If God is calling you to be a nurse, go to nursing school. If he's calling you to teach, then go to college to teach, or a doctor, lawyer, whatever it is. Or if God is calling you to be a janitor for a large company, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, prepare yourself and do it, because it does not matter what you do for a career. Any job that you do is for God's glory and his honor, and he can use you on any job. Wherever you are, you can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, live one day at a time for Jesus, and let him bless you, and let him use you for his glory and his honor. Remember, your life does have purpose. Don't let anybody mess with you. Don't let the devil mess with you. Don't let friends or family mess with you in the sense of trying to turn you away from God. But let them know that your life has purpose. Your life does have purpose. Remember, this is your season to be blessed. Bow your head with me and let us pray. Father, we just bless you. We lift up your name. We honor you. I thank you, dear Lord, for everyone listening to this broadcast. I pray that they will be blessed. Lord, I pray for that one that is trying to make up their minds to serve you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll forgive them of their sins right now as they pray to you. I pray for that family that is struggling right now, that you would bless them financially, emotionally, spiritually. I pray, oh God, for families all around the globe, God, in North America, South America, Central America, Lord, in the Caribbean, in Asia, Lord, in Africa, Lord God, in over there in Australia and in Russia, Lord God, in the up way up in the North Pole and in different areas of the world. Oh God, places that I might not even remember their names, in India. Oh God, different areas of the world, oh God. You know every little island and every area, every people of the world, every tongue of the world. You know all of them. And I pray that you would truly touch right now, move in a special way. I pray for that one that's sick, oh God. They've had an ongoing cold for many weeks now that they can't shake. I rebuke that cold right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke viruses that are attacking folks right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now that you are delivering. You're healing right now. You're healing right now. God, someone has breast cancer right now. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, cervical cancer. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for lung cancer leaving right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. All types of tumors are leaving right now. All types of brain tumors leaving right now in the name of Jesus. And spine injuries, oh God, we know that you're able to heal. Oh God, someone that's been in a wheelchair for years, I thank you right now that they're getting up and they're walking in the name of Jesus. I thank you for that miraculous healing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, remember your people once again. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us this far by faith. I thank you right now, oh God, that we are walking and trusting you, knowing, oh God, that every breath we take is all because of you, Jesus. I thank you right now, God, for those families that you're reuniting right now. In the name of Jesus, I bless your name, oh God. I honor you, dear Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for families, oh God, that you're touching right now, for children that you're protecting right now. Lord God, touch in the name of Jesus. God, that rebellious teenager right now is coming home. Lord, I thank you right now. I pray, oh God, for those women that are incarcerated, for the men that are incarcerated, for youth in the youth facilities. Oh God, for your protection, that you would lead them to Christ. And oh God, as I continue to do the work inside the prisons, God, I pray that you would use me for your glory and your honor. Remember your people right now, God, and I thank you. Oh, hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for touching your people right now. I give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you so much for studying with me tonight. And I don't know if you're ready, but I'm going to play a song that says, Lord, I am ready.
Blessings are running down.
And a
me
and
David,
not
in my drink out of glass, I cast a cup of oil over to me.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. To be blessed,
too anointed to be